Father in heaven, we're thankful today for your many blessings. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise. Thank you for bringing us to this prophetic insights. I pray even now that you will reveal unto us one more time the times in which we're living in, and that we may behold you and be changed into your image. As we know that we can never fully reflect or be the example, but we must surely copy the great example, the great exemplar, Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, revive us, reform us, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Greetings, salutations. Welcome to this Prophetic Insights, Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. This is again your spiritual oasis on this pilgrim journey. You see, friends, I was about to say May. It is so startling to know we have already entered the sixth month of this year. Time is flying into eternity. And my friends, we have to make sure that every day we are prepared. Welcome one, welcome all to this Prophetic Insights. All right, Helena, Kivens, and Tamika, welcome one, welcome all. I want to say this, throughout this Prophetic Insights, I'm going to prove to you without a shadow of a doubt that this race war will lead into the great, quote unquote, holy war. This may be the one that we're now experiencing that has gone global, the death, the murdering of George Floyd. This might be the one. If it's not, let's get ready, stay ready. And if it is, by God's grace, we will be found ready. Race war, then holy war, before I get there. Let's segue into this breaking news that President Trump and First Lady attended John Paul II National Shrine. What is the prophetic significance? We are going to go deep and deeper still into God's word, history, to confirm this is one more clear sign. Yes, friends, the Protestant Reformation is over in their eyes. Take a look. Take a look at this, my friends. What are they doing at that shrine with that wreath? Former Pope John Paul II. I'll come back to this. Let's continue. Let's take a look at this write-up. USA Today, June 2nd, 2020. My friend, what is a Catholic shrine? It says, a day after a much criticized photo op at a fire-damaged church near the White House, President Donald Trump took his anti-protester law and order message to a Catholic shrine. And it goes on, blue words, the shrine is a place of prayer. Underscore that, a place of prayer for Catholics, but welcomes people of all faiths. Both the president and the first lady stood silently at that shrine of John Paul II for a few minutes, hands clasped in front of them. So what is that Catholic shrine? A place of what? A place of prayer. Question, my friend, do you see this? This great significance. This is Protestant America. This is a professed Protestant praying at a Roman Catholic shrine. Are you telling me that President Trump does not know his history and the history of the Roman Catholic Church and what they put in place to establish a Catholic shrine? Whose idea was this? Well, we know Melania, his wife, is a professed Roman Catholic. Whose idea was this? His cabinet officials? Even, what's his name, William Barr, a Roman Catholic? Whose idea was this? Other Jesuits who are his counselors? Whose idea was this? Come on, friends. We have to comprehend this. Take a look at this, my friends. It goes on that the Roman Catholic shrine is a place of renewal. It says, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops declared it a national shrine on March 14th, 2014, after John Paul was canonized as a saint. As a saint, don't forget that. It is meant to be a place of genuine encounter with God that leads to a renewal of individuals, renewal of families, renewal of societies, renewal of cultures. This is a president of America with his wife bowing at a Roman Catholic shrine. This is a dead pope. Remember, this was done because John Paul II died, of course, and he was exalted as a so-called saint. Not a saint of God, a saint of the Roman Catholic Church. What had to take place for John Paul II to be declared a saint by the Roman Catholic Church? He had to have performed miracles after he died. What is that, my friends? That's spiritualism. Take a look at this, my friends. There it is. Pope John Paul II supposedly performed both miracles after death. Several months after he died, the first miracle, healing someone of Parkinson's disease. The second miracle, 6 years after his death, the second miracle, a woman was healed of aneurysm. This is spiritualism, my friends. And what are we told in Great Controversy? Page 588. What are those two great errors of the papacy? The immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness. And what is the immortality of the soul? It means the dead are yet alive. That's it, friends. Spiritualism. And the blue word says the first of two steps is the Protestants of America will first grasp the hand of spiritualism. Next step, they'll reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. What comes next, my friends? Trampling on the rights of conscience. Is that clear, my friends? Now notice, we are told by Roman Catholics at each shrine, they have relics of the dead. Maybe the bones of John Paul II are there. Maybe his blood is somewhere around that shrine. Maybe his clothes, some article of clothing, something, some relic. And the president is there? My friends, this is one of two steps. Spiritualism. Romanism is next. Then comes trampling upon our rights of conscience. My friends, take a look at Matthew 24. This is crucial. Matthew 24. And what is the context? Race wars in America. Riots, civil unrest. And we covered this earlier during midday power surge in verse 6. The wars. Verse 7, the famines, the pestilences, the calamities. Verse 8, the beginning of sorrows. And verse number 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be killed, trampling upon the rights of conscience. Then they tell us the shrine is also a place of healing. A place of what, my friends? Okay, live audience. I guess YouTube just sent out the notifications, or maybe you came because of God's movements and God's inspiration. Live, praise God for you. Let's come back here, my friends. Let's come back here. The shrine is a place of healing. With that in mind, why would President Trump go to the shrine? We can't read his heart. Let's take a look at the context and the fruit. What needs healing? Is this for personal healing? The shrine. National healing? Crises in America? Race riots? Race wars? The deadly wound? Healing? Ah, friends, take a look at this. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops declared it a national shrine. We cover that. Last phrase, it says, last phrase reads the shrine's official website, adding, red words, it is a place where God heals, and renews every dimension of human life, such as, blue words, individuals, such as families, societies, cultures. And what are we told, my friends, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, verse 4, that deadly wound will one day be healed. It begins where? In Protestant America, verse 11, verse 12, verse 15, through verse 17 of Revelation 13. We are here. Listen to what A.T. Jones wrote on this very same point. He says, we're going deep today, friends. It says, A.T. Jones, no one who keeps track of current events as recorded by the secular press can have failed to note the frequent mention during recent years of wonderful cases of healing said to have taken place at Catholic shrines and by the application of relics of Roman Catholic saints. It's clear that A.T. Jones had a sweet penchant for perusing, analyzing the secular press to see the current events fulfilling Bible prophecy. So what must all of us have a penchant for? Ah, friends, is it clear? Current events as they are fulfilling Bible prophecy. So as watchmen on the walls of Zion, we may give the trumpet a distinct sound. Let's move on quickly. Do not want to keep you long today because we covered some of this in Midday Power Search. This is part two. Now we are told Roman Catholic shrines, people go there because it's a place. When they arrive, they are seeking God's favor. Look at this, my friends. Great Controversy, page 55. You see, friends, this book, I'm telling you, everyone needs it. It says, watch carefully. I won't spend much time here. Long pilgrimages. By the way, blue words on top. They were taught not only to look to the Pope as their mediator. What is President Trump saying? What is he thinking? I don't know. But what does this act imply? Is he seeking for John Paul II to assist him to heal the wounds of the nation, to make right decisions? It says, watch carefully, long pilgrimages shrines, red words, shrines. These and many similar acts were enjoined to appease the wrath of God or to secure his favor. That's it. That's why he brought the reef. Look at this, my friends. Fox 5, WashingtonDC.com, June 2nd, 2020. Mr. Trump's motorcade drove to the St. John Paul II National Shrine for a wreath-laying ceremony. You put a wreath there, you are offering a gift to the dead. It goes on. This was done because President Trump was actually honoring, or you can say celebrating, any one of those synonyms, celebrating the former Pope's 100th birthday. Want to ask you a question, friends? What happened in Scripture when there was a birthday? Pharaoh, the baker, died, was slain. Baker, those who serve bread, the bread of life. What happened in Herod, New Testament? Herod's birthday, John the Baptist was beheaded. Why? The civil leader Herod, united, influenced by Herodias and her daughter Salome. Birthday, my friends, birthday. And now we are told, Roman Catholic shrine is also a place that signals nature worship. What did I say, friends? Nature worship. Look at this, my friends. This is E.J. Wagner. He says, but the Roman Catholic shrine, with its theatrical display and merchandise of religious things, exalts the creature above Christ. That's nature worship. And friends, what says Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through verse 5, the first two commandments? Do not exalt any graven image. What's on the screen right there, friends? Laying a wreath to a dead man who they believe is alive because he worked miracles? Did he pray? Did President Trump pray in the presence of that image? And my friends, remember, what image does and shortly will Protestant America form? Revelation 13, she will form an image to the papacy, to the Roman Catholic Church, first beast and second beast. And what is the chief god of nature? S-U-N, Constantine, S-U-N-D-A-Y, Sunday worship. But what precedes Sunday worship by law? It is nature worship, spiritualism, the immortality, the natural immortality of the soul. We read that in Great Controversy, page 588. Look at this, friend. I want everyone to pay attention. With that in mind, let's come back now to Mr. Trump at St. John's Church with a Bible in his hand. I'm going to prove to you now, after the race war, then will be holy war upon God's people. Look at this, my friends. Do you remember this? Ronald Reagan and John Paul II, holy alliance, holy war against communism. Look at this again. All right, friends, let's take a look at this. All right, and then we have, again, friends, take a look at Matthew 24. Interestingly, we just saw Ronald Reagan forming a holy alliance, church-state union, holy in quotes, with John Paul II to overthrow their common enemy, communism. Now we have current president, Mr. Trump, bowing, showing homage to an image, a shrine of John Paul II. Is God trying to tell us It's going to be repeated. Now, it won't be communism. That will be seen as the enemy. But God's commandment keeping people. What is God saying to us, my friends? Judgment is in the land. Look at it. Look at it now. In Matthew 24, we see war in verse 6 and verse 7. That's war among nations and also race wars going on now in America. What comes in verse 8? Beginning of sorrows. What is in verse 9? Then war against God's commandment keeping people. Against whom? Those who have God's name. Where is God's name placed? In the forehead. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 12. And also chapter 7, verse 1 through verse 4 of Revelation 7. Race war, then holy war against God's commandment keeping people. Revelation 12, verse 17. The dragon will be warring against the remnant seed who keep God's commandments. If these points are clear, my friends, send in the amens. Now watch. Mr. Trump paying homage to a shrine of John Paul II, the beast and the image. Let's take a look at Mr. Trump's statement in light of the beast, the papacy, and what she did between 538 and 1798. Your eyes are going to be open even wider. You will see even clearer. The scales will fall from many eyes now. Look at this, friends. You remember the vicious dogs and the ominous weapons? Words from Mr. Trump, the president? Listen.
The president again stoked tensions when he tweeted that if protesters had breached the fence, they would have been greeted with the most vicious dogs and most ominous weapons. Imagery that Washington, D.C.'s Mayor Muriel Bowser found offensive.
Dogs in the image, America. Look at dogs, my friends, in the beast, the papacy. It says, red words, some were crucified, others were covered with the skins of wild animals and thrust into the arena to be torn by dogs. As in the beast, the papacy, so in the image in the last days. What about ominous weapons? Some of us wept, had a broken heart, as we saw that so-called officer, Derek Chauvin, pressuring his knee into George Floyd's neck and murdering him. We cringed as we saw that. That is nothing in comparison to what the papacy did with her weapons. Between 538 and 1798. There it is, my friends. Page 569 of The Great Controversy. Oh, my friends. Oh, my friends. Pause the video and read that. And go to Google and even type in torture and persecution by the Roman Catholic Church. My friends, it's worse than a sheriff putting his knee in someone's neck and suffocating them to death. As horrible, as heinous of a crime that was. Imagine what happened between 538 and 1798. And friends, it's coming again. Great Controversy, page 581. Look at the red words of the papacy. Red words on top. She's piling up her lofty and massive structures in the secret recesses of which her former persecutions will be repeated. We haven't seen anything yet. Blue words. We shall soon see and shall feel what the purpose of the Roman element is. We haven't seen anything yet. May I close now, friends? A change has come to America. Again, take a look at that. A change has come to America for a Protestant president to be honoring a shrine of a Roman Catholic. What are we told in the book Great Controversy, page 563? Liberty of conscience threatened. A change has come. Imagine in the 1600s, would a president of America pay homage, go and lay a wreath at a pope's shrine? No such thing. A change has come to America. Read that statement, my friends, on the screen. We were once taught to abhor popery, but now we love popery. Now we are told, my friends, that shrines, Roman Catholic shrines, were used to silence the voice of reason, to silence the voice of conscience. GC 566. We're going deep as I close right here. When I read that, my mind went back, reverted to, I reminisced on the Reformation, liberty of conscience. Catholic shrines were to silence the voice, come on Christian, the voice of reason and the voice of conscience. Look at this now. Here it is, my friends. A.T. Jones said, the beginning of the Reformation marked the decline of the veneration of relics and the miracles attributed to them, even among devout Romanists themselves. But now that the Reformation is disappearing from the minds and hearts of men, it logically follows that shrines, relics, and miracles should increase. They are even increasing in New York City, Washington, D.C. What a statement, my friends. The Reformation brought an end to people, even Catholics, venerating relics and going to shrines. But he says, when the Reformation begins to die, what happens? A revival of shrine worship. And where are we now seeing the riots? Friends, in these very same cities. COVID-19, New York. Look at the screen, friends. New York's Pope. What a statement, my friends. Shrine worshiping. Let's close, my friends. That's why I'm going to close right here. I'll come back. My friends, that's why it's time for us to receive the everlasting gospel. Live and teach it. True principles of Protestantism. Christian, back to the screen. When Zwingli received it, he began to preach it, and people fled from Roman Catholic shrines. Where are the Zwinglis today? Not only Zwingli, but William Farrell and also Lefebvre. Where are they from? The city of Paris. Paris, France. France, the French Revolution. French Revolution? Those principles are not being repeated in America today. Do you see it, friends? It's clear. It's clear. And there it is, my friends. Faith grasped the promise, and the glad response was heard. No more long pilgrimages to make. No more painful journeys to holy shrines. No more. I may come to Christ just as I am, sinful and unholy. And Jesus will not spurn the repentant prayer, the penitential prayer. Thy sins, we will hear, are forgiven. And we can say, mine, even mine, may be forgiven. Remember, the popes believe that they can forgive sins. Blasphemy. But we can go directly to Jesus Christ. This message is present truth. It connects with Christ's work as high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, the only mediator between God and man. Not the Pope, not a church, not a state leader. Are these points clear, friends? Father in heaven, we thank you for this prophetic insights. May it ring and not lose its effect upon our hearts. May we live accordingly to your word. May we share to get others ready. Is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Maranatha.